This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Time for summer camp. We're going to go camping with the Giants and the Jets. Training camps in action for a couple weeks now, and to check in with the pulse of what's going on, first impressions, all that good stuff. We bring in friend of the program, Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, Laurie. What's up?
Let's start off with the Giants. What has been your overall impression of training camp so far?
Malik Nabers is still incredible. Abdul Carter is incredible, and this is what you're supposed to get when you're really bad and you pick in the top five. Like, Giants fans and Giants media almost have forgotten, like, what a top draft pick is supposed to look like. Like, when you end up with Eli Apple and Eric Flowers and Evan Neal, and to a lesser degree, Kayvon Thibodeau is not in that category. He's a legitimate NFL player. He's just not a game wrecker. And, like, Abdul Carter has a chance to be an absolute game wrecker, and Malik Nabers, we know, is a game wrecker. So, like, watching those two every day, you're like, oh, that's what happens when you draft Aiden Hutchinson or when you draft somebody like that. It's been awesome to see the talent on the field that those two young guys have.
What's an area that you would say has the potential to be the biggest area of improvement for the Giants this season versus last year?
I think the obvious answer is the pass rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
They have a chance to have a dominant pass rush. But, like, the only way that's going to work, Lori, is if they're winning games. Because, like, if they're down 14 again, like, they'll get their, like, three sacks a game or whatever. But if you're playing from behind, your pass rush doesn't really matter. So, like, they're going to have to be in games. And I think I want to be really careful here because, like, I'm not all in on, like, the Russell Wilson is back to being a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. Like, I'm a big believer, as you know, Laurie, and, like, believe what the NFL shows you. And, like, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin gave up on Russell Wilson. They're all going to the Hall of Fame. So, like, I don't think three coaches are wrong about Russell Wilson. But even at this level of Russell Wilson is a pretty big upgrade, I think, over Daniel Jones, at least on the practice field. I don't know. We'll see during the games. But I think they have a chance, to answer your original question, to be significantly better at quarterback, even with a pedestrian level of Russell Wilson. Just because he's so smart, he knows what he's doing. He's not going to make catastrophic plays, which is what the Giants have got at quarterback for, like, three of the last 4 years.
So that was going to be my next question about Russell Wilson, is what makes him different, or and how is his level of leadership from that quarterback position, how is that noticeable so far in training camp versus what you'd seen from Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I mean, so his play is much more I guess, even is mm-hmm. probably the right word. There's, mm-hmm. it's not as up and down, which I think is good. Look, Daniel Jones was a good leader. He was a first one in, last one out. His teammates respected him. You know, he did all the little things, the extra film. Like, he just wasn't like an outspoken personality. He just wasn't the right personality for New York. And like, Russell Wilson is a big personality. And like, his resume comes with a level of, you have to respect what he's done. And I think that's important for guys like Malik Nabers. Like, he needs to believe that, like, he's being led by the right person. So by somebody who knows more than he knows. And, you know, he knows a lot, obviously, about football. So, like, I think that's important. I think his leadership is perfect right now for an organization that's been beat up mm-hmm. on the field and off the field. Russell Wilson's leadership style is relentless positivity. And so, like, and, you know, attention to detail. Like, I think that's great in training camp when you're 0-0. And it might be great if you're 0-1 or 0-2 and you need, like, a little bit of a surge. The problem with Russell Wilson is he's the same person when you're, like, 2-8. And that's when guys don't want to hear it. They don't want you to go in the huddle when you're 2-8 and say, like, guys, we have the best job in the world. We're wearing the New York Giants uniform. Like, no one wants to hear that. And that's still what he's going to do. So, like, it's the perfect leadership style for good times or when you need a quick pick-me-up. It's going to wear out if the Giants are what the Giants have been for the last seven or eight years.
Yeah, well, speaking of 2-8, if they are 2-8, I think that will be the point at which they will bail on Russell Wilson and turn to Jackson Dart. And so what have you seen so far? What has jumped out at you so far from the Giants' other first-round draft pick, Jackson Dart?
Jackson Dart, and maybe this is true of all first-round quarterbacks, all rookie quarterbacks. I don't remember seeing this from Daniel Jones. I do remember seeing it from Davis Webb, but he's got a little Jameis Winston in him right now, which is to say that, like, there is no throw on the practice field that Jackson Dart doesn't think he can make. Like, there's no window too small. There's no, like, somebody too covered, which is really exciting because it, like, leads to some really, like, whoa, did you see that throw? Like, we haven't seen a throw like that in years. And then it leads to some, oh, God, what is he doing? Rookie mistake, tipped pass, interception, pick six. So, like, that's what Jameis Winston's still doing, like, whatever it is, 10 years into his career, and that's why he's Jameis Winston. you can't do that and survive as a starting quarterback in the NFL. You could do that as a rookie. We call that rookie growing pains, right? And you assume that, you know, as you get older and play more games, you're going to learn what you can do and what you can't do. So that's what I've seen from Jackson Dart, is a moxie and a more arm strength than I thought. But as he plays, as he practices, he's going to need to figure out what he can't do. Because, again, like I said a minute ago, like, the Giants have had good plays and catastrophic plays at quarterback for too long, and that's not Daboll's style. So Dart's going to need to reel in the other without giving up too much of the exciting plays. He's going to have to figure out how to toe that line.
Speaking of players with growing pains, one positional change that I think a lot of Giants fans have had their eye on so far is former, I don't know, do we call him a bust or not, but Evan Neal.
We're talking about Evan Neal, we yeah. do. Yeah.
So Evan Neal, who was drafted, obviously, to play tackle, and now the Giants are trying to get something out of this draft pick and shift him to guard. What are you seeing from Evan Neal so far, and how is that transition going?
I've seen a lot of the same Evan Neal that I saw at tackle, which is to say that if he's going forward as a run blocker, I think he's going to be pretty good. And as a pass blocker, if he gets his hands on you, he might be okay, but he's on the ground a lot. I asked somebody in the Giants recently about that. They said, no, he's not on the ground a lot. I mean, it sure looks like he's on the ground a lot, but Yeah, I don't have tremendously high. Look, I think he's going to win the starting job because I think we've seen that this regime, you know, forces things that they, you know, that make them look better, like draft picks and contracts and whatnot, and then they ultimately will pull the plug when they have to. But after everybody else in America has seen that it's not working, whether that's Josh Azudu or Eric Gray at punt returner or whatever it may be. So Daniel Jones. So I think he'll win the job. I don't have tremendously high hopes for him, but I do think he'll be better at guard than tackle just because it's easier to hide at guard than tackle. The problem with Evan Neal was if he had five bad reps a game at right tackle, they were sacks. And like they were viral highlights of him stumbling to the ground. That doesn't happen as much inside because there's less space to be, posterized, so to speak.
Speaking of this regime trying to put a player on the field or insist on keeping him there who your eyes are telling you may not be up to the job, what's the latest on the Giants center, John Michael Schmitz? And I don't know, I was just hoping, whether it was Greg Van Roten or somebody, that they would give competition at center, but that doesn't seem to be happening, does it?
No, I missed a couple practices last week, but as far as I know, he's taken every single first-team rep at center, which I agree with you, I don't like that. I was hoping there would be a competition. Again, I think he would win it because, you know, that's their guy, but I was hoping if just for the sake of pushing him, or making him feel, you know, a little urgency, I was hoping there would be Van Roten would be that guy, probably maybe Austin Schlottman. No, certainly there has been none of that. It's been John Michael Schmitz. One day I was there, he had three errant snaps. Errant snaps are usually not his problem. I wouldn't worry too much about that. His problem is he gets pushed back.
Right.
And he's had some reps where he gets pushed back. You know, I mean, he doesn't look like much of a different player. He looks like pretty much the same player.
What about some of the younger receivers, Wandale Robinson or Jalen Hyatt? Do you expect that Russell Wilson will have a positive impact on them?
I do. Yes, I do. Now, look, I think they are, especially Wandale Robinson, I kind of think he is what he is. I don't think he's going to become Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think he's going to even...
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Become Darius Slayton, where he's catching, you know, 40-yard bombs. Kind of think Wandale Robinson is a slot receiver who works the middle of the field. Now, maybe with Russell Wilson, that's 10 yards instead of 3 yards like it was last year. But I kind of think he is what he is. I think Russell Wilson's ball placement should be an uptick for Wandale Robinson. He had a alarmingly low number of yards after catch last year for someone who's supposed to be shifty. I think that's because he was catching the ball and getting popped. Russell Wilson should be able to lead Wandale better, but Russell Wilson's numbers play out. He throws the ball outside the hashes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he does. He does not throw the ball over the middle a lot. So, like, Wandale's thing is over the middle. The Giants have been trying to force Wandale to get downfield, I think, probably for that exact reason. They don't want to waste him over the middle. If Russ is not going to throw it to him, they feel like they have a pretty good receiver in Wandale, so they want to marry up those skills. And then Jalin Hyatt, I think he is kind of what he is. Like, he's the fourth receiver. He's going to get the fourth most reps. If the other three stay healthy, there's not going to be a lot for Jalin Hyatt. But I do think they'll be able – I mean, look, you can't use Jalin Hyatt less than the Giants used him last year. He had 8 catches. I do think there's, like, a niche role for him. Like, Russell Wilson throws a good moon ball. Jalin Hyatt's best thing is to run a straight 9-ball or 9-route and catch a deep ball. And so, like, I think there's a way to marry those up. So I do think in certain plays or certain packages, you'll be able to use Jalin Hyatt to hit a home run. But I don't think Jalin Hyatt's, like, suddenly going to be, like, a 50-catch guy. I just don't see – I don't see that happening.
How do players seem to be interacting – I'm shifting to the defensive side of the ball. How do players seem to be interacting with defensive coordinator Shane Bowen in camp? Because – it seemed like players were more comfortable with previous defensive coordinator Wink Martindale than maybe embracing Shane Bowen.
I mean, I don't know. I think that was Wink's style a little bit. Wink, mm-hmm. you know, like a one of the guys, frat guy kind of guy. And, you know, I don't know that Bowen has that, like, you know, persona. I think mm-hmm. he's more of like studious or whatever, like, you know, like a traditional coach. So, like, I mean, look, success is what's going to help. They seem to be rallying around what I think is kind of a gimmicky idea of this turnover chest that Shane Bowen created, where they bring out a pirate's chest every time they get a turnover in practice and they put the ball in it. Bowen got that idea because his son played on the Pirates T-ball team or whatever. So, like, they seem to be rallying around that as, like, Bobby Okereke said to me the other day, like, anything that promotes more buy-in is good, and guys seem to be buying into it. God knows they went set the NFL record last year for consecutive games without an interception. So they need more turnovers. Look, they have better players on defense this year. Like, everybody wants, including John Mara, everybody wanted to kill Shane Bowen last year. It's like, I mean, you gave him nothing to work with, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the defensive talent was bad. Like, people keep wanting to sugarcoat that. Like, the personnel stuff gave them very little to work with. They have pretty good talent, like above average talent on defense. Now, if Shane Bowen can't make that work, that's on Shane Bowen. But I think the scheme could look very different this year than it did last year. I wouldn't be like, look at last year and be like, oh, that's what Shane Bowen does. I would look at last year and be like, that's what he had to do to get by.
What's the latest on the second cornerback, you know, kind of that, you know, the position battle there?
Started out camp as Deontay Banks and Cordell Flott rotating, like, basically day by day, who got more reps with the starters. The last couple days has been Deontay Banks over Cordell Flott. Is that because Banks is playing better than Flott? Is that because Banks is the first round pick? Is that because Cordell Flott is a little bit more versatile? And so he's kind of the perfect backup corner because he could be your first backup nickel and your first backup starter. So, like, I think they want him to be a backup and not a starter because of the versatility, and they want Banks because, you know, they want to salvage that draft pick. And then Flott, the reason Flott never wins a starting job is because he's always banged up. I don't know what it is, but he didn't practice yesterday, Saturday. The Dable didn't tell us why, but he might be banged up again, and that happens to him seemingly every year. So I would guess Banks is winning the job. Certainly he's ahead of it right now.
All right, we're talking to Ryan Dunleavy about the Giants, and now let's switch to the Jets a little bit. In terms of, you know, when you've been over to Jets camp, what are your impressions so far of the kind of camp that Aaron Glenn is running?
An old school camp, like as much of a Parcellsian camp as you can run under today's modern rules. Like, they did live tackling one day. I've been covering the NFL for 8 years. I've never seen that. Like one-on-one live to the ground tackling. It's like unheard of. Every coach is so worried about losing guys to injuries. And I guess Glenn was with the Lions last year, saw so many guys go down injured that he's like immune to it at this point. And I mean, look, it's a hard camp. And then they had a scrimmage yesterday where they had live tackling in the scrimmage on everybody except for the quarterback. So the Jets have been a sloppy team for a long time. It's kind of their MO under Robert Saleh. It seems like Glenn is going to be able to take care of the tackling aspect of that. But sure enough, there were a slew of penalties yesterday. I don't know. I forget the number, half a dozen or something like that. Penalties in the scrimmage yesterday. That's been a hallmark of the Jets, too sloppy. So that's going to obviously have Aaron Glenn seeing red, because that's not the kind of ball he wants to play. Smart, close, defensive football where execution wins the games. And that wasn't what the Jets were yesterday.
What's the biggest area of concern, or, you know, that so far looking at the Jets that you have going into the season?
I would say a couple things pop out when you say that. I don't know what I would say is number one. I don't know who's catching the second most passes on the team. Mm-hmm. Like Garrett Wilson is going to have one of those Malik Nabers years where he has like 170 targets and 110 catches. And I'm like, I have no idea who's second on it. Is it Mason Taylor? Is it Josh Reynolds? Is it Xavier Gibson? I have no idea who's going to be second on the team in catches. That worries me, because you can very easily just double team Garrett Wilson. And then, okay, now what you got, guys? Brandon Stevens as the second corner. They really believe in him, but he gave up a lot of yards and a lot of penalties last year. I'd be very interested if, you know, they're used to having DJ Reed, who's one of the best number twos and probably a number one opposite Sauce. They don't have that anymore. And then I guess I would say Justin Fields. Like, yep. Sure enough, he was 2 for 10. He was 2 for 10 yesterday in the scrimmage. Like, and you forget in training camp, like, everything's great. Everything's hunky-dory. Everybody looks great. It's best shape of my life. I'm doing this. I've never done this before. But, and then you put him into a scrimmage setting and he went 2 for 10. And that's, you know, that's Justin Fields, the passer. Like, is he going to magically be better in a different uniform with a different offensive line with probably worse receivers and a first-time play caller? I mean, you're asking a lot that he's just going to magically – we're trying to say a guy who's never been a great quarterback is going to come to the Jets and be a great quarterback. Think about the sentence I just said.
hopefully for Jets fans, a positive note, what are you seeing from Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson in this camp since they signed those contracts? Is there anything discernible, like from a leadership standpoint, a vocal standpoint, from those guys?
Yeah, I can't say I've been there enough times to say, like, I see a trend, mm-hmm. but, like, they've certainly talked about, like, how they want to be more leaders and stuff like that. Look, I think the best part of going to Jets camp every time I go for the last 4 years is when those two go against each other, because, like, that is an incredible amount of respect on both sides, an incredibly high level of talent going against each other. And that's the kind of thing that, like, other guys need to see and be like, oh, I need to raise my level. The third receiver versus Michael Carter needs to be like, oh, okay, we need to compete against each other like those two all Pro Bowl caliber guys do. So whether they're going to suddenly become, you know, leaders or whatnot, like Garrett Wilson needs to be, right? Like, I don't know if Sauce Gardner needs to be, that Quincy Williams kind of is, and Andre Sisco definitely is going to be. And Jamie and Sherwood's trying to become one, Quinnen, but like Garrett Wilson needs to become a leader, especially if Justin Fields is not long for the Jets, you know, a year or two, maybe. Garrett Wilson, we know, is here for 6 years. He needs to become a leader. And he obviously has had moments in the past where, you know, his emotions get the best of him, let's say. And he doesn't necessarily act like a leader. And he obviously, there's going to be frustrating times, and he obviously needs to grow. I don't know that there's anything he can do in training camp to do that. He has to do that when adversity hits in the season.
All right. Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post about NFL training camps and Giants and Jets. And Ryan, as always, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.